Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Welcome and hello. This is Joseph G. with Rum Radio and rumradio.org. The most comprehensive 12-step sponsorship in the known and the unknown universe. I would like to acknowledge WNAH, Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse, who affords us the opportunity to broadcast live to their listening audiences in Nashville, Kentucky, and Arkansas as a public service presentation. We would also like to acknowledge RecoveryToday.net magazine. It's one of the finer recovery journals that affords some print space from time to time. I'd gratefully like to introduce my co-host, Harold B., a family intervention specialist. He does a fine work with troubled families, and I personally believe the families are the basic unit of our society. And as the family goes, so does the nation. Harold?
Hello, everybody. Hello, Joseph. Thank you for that introduction. And I've felt that it's an honor for years to work with families, some that are in recovery, some that need recovery, and some that really their problems are of other natures. And so I do that full time. And this endeavor in working with 12-step programs is my way of giving back. I really owe my life to the 12-step programs and the people in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so if they hadn't been there when I arrived, I wouldn't be with us today. And so I like to give back and be there and do service work so that when new people come in, they have a program to come to and people that care enough to lead them through the step. And as a side benefit to that, that also helps me stay in recovery and strengthen my recovery and not fall for the tricks of the enemy and succumb to the disease of addiction. Addiction to alcohol or any other addiction, they all go hand in hand. So I just want to say a little bit about the traditions. We are self-supporting through our own contributions in AA. We don't accept outside contributions. And this is a program of attraction, not promotion. So what we like to do here is talk about our experience, strength, and hope. Share what we were like, what happened, and what we're like now, and in that way help people that also want to recover to begin their recovery without giving advice, but just through the sharing in the way that it was shared with us. The website that fits with this radio program is rumradio.org. Joseph created the website and has done what was necessary financially to create it and sustain it, and does not make money. It costs money to do that, but that's his way of giving back. And so this is not a promotion. This is an opportunity to share education from the program of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to return to basics and talk about intensive work with another alcoholic. That is really the key to this. As we come into the program of AA, what's really happening is that we're being prepared to work with someone who is newer than we are in the program. and the preparation for that is working the steps with somebody who has already worked the steps. So here we are. We're not making money from this. This is our service work. It is a contribution, and it's carried by the radio station in Nashville as part of their public service. So I applaud Joseph for thinking about this and creating this educational website, and I think he'll have a chance to talk about how popular it has become, how many folks we're attracting in how many countries. It's really amazing. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. Well, I'd like to give you the guest call in case you'd like to join the conversation, and you're more than welcome to do that with your experience, strength, and hope, or any questions, ideas, or comments. And that would be 949-534-0621. Again, 949-534-0621. Sunday night is the only live show. We do a rewinds on Saturday and Monday. Tonight we're going to be doing step four. Before we get into that, this is step four on the 12 and 24, Dr. Bob times 5,000. This is taking someone through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in a 24-hour period. Now, you don't have to do it in 24 hours, but in some areas that might be the only way that your new sponsee is going to be able to accept this information in the shortest period of time. You could take a couple days, you could take a week, you could take 2 weeks, whatever you feel is necessary as a sponsor. What we're doing is laying a set of tools at your feet. Take what you need and leave the rest.
Let's talk a little bit about who Dr. Bob and Bill W. Were.
Well, Bill W. Was the original founder, and the co-founder was Dr. Bob. They started that. I wrote a piece on it. If Bill was the sail, Dr. Bob was the anchor. These two men got together, two common variety drunks, and was able to put together an organization of understanding that has stood the test of time. No, they weren't special in any sense of the word, just regular guys that had a gift from God. I really believe God uses the weak things of this world to accomplish his ends, and this is how I'm able to put together Rum Radio as one of the weaker things of this world. This weekend, I went up to an AA club, Champions in Cypress, Texas. That's North Houston, and it's still a smoking club. And I felt inundated. I hadn't smoked in 14 years, and I forgot how militant tobacco smokers are when it comes to taking away the addiction of nicotine. I went in there and I felt physically attacked. I went into the meeting, I promoted Rum Radio, and that's the reason I was up there, to do a good work, just to introduce this the website. And I do that. I go to different clubs and try to promote it that way. It's all over the world. It's in 132 foreign countries, including Mississippi, 2,100 towns, cities, and villages, and 125,000 hits to the website per date. So that's in 2.5 years we've accumulated 125,000 hits to the website. It's moving along. It's moving along fairly slow, but it's word of mouth. It's really good advertising. So I go in there, and I'm sitting in the meeting, and it's a big table, and me and another Joseph, who was a white Joseph and a black Joseph, we sat in the back, two non-smokers. It was like salt and pepper. And they would do the round robin discussion, which means it goes from one person around this big table. Well, since I was sitting in the back, I was one of a far distance would have to come to me. And usually in an AA meeting, the shares aren't going to be that succinct and that short where it would have gotten to me. But it did. I was really quite surprised. And I introduced myself like I normally would. And I said I was very impressed with how succinct and short-lived the shares were, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Growing up, I was always told that if you spoke more than 3 minutes, it was all about you anyway. I said two things go on. One was that either that this group was very humble, or there was a lack of oxygen. I got one laugh out of the room. What I noticed after I did share, the physical attack seemed to abate. And also, that night I realized that was not only a physical attack, it was a spiritual attack as well. I was being attacked both physically and spiritually because I'm trying to give out a good message and I was being thwarted on a spiritual level as well as a physical level to obtain that. It was really interesting the way it came down, but I got the message out and hopefully I've gotten the cards out and some folks will look at it, pass it on to their fellows, and get some good recovery tools. Always can just put it at your feet and hope that somebody will pick them up and use them. Step 4, courage to look in the mirror without our disguise. The simplicity of the 12 steps. Step 4 is courage. Have a little picture of a little thumbnail of a skeleton in a top hat and tails looking in a mirror and being scared from what he sees. Step 4 gives us the opportunity to see ourselves like other people see us. Thomas Merton, a Travestine monk, had written one time, if we could see ourselves like other people see us, we would truly be humble. C.E. Seran, a French philosopher, said, if we could see ourselves like other people see us, we would disappear on the spot. And Robert Burns, the plowboy poet, wrote in a poetry to a louse, if we could see ourselves like other people, many notion it would dispel. Step 4 is a gift that we receive in the rooms of AA and the 12-step recovery program, an opportunity to take a look at ourselves. That takes courage. Of all the ways in which we have radically complicated this incredibly simple program, what's happened to step 4 and 5 is probably the most egregious. We have managed to take a process which was designed to be done in a single sitting in a little as an hour and turn it into the equivalent of a doctorate level thesis. New alcoholics find themselves saddled with endless paper replete with multiple columns and enough data to keep a forensic scientist percolating for days on end. How does it make rational sense to send a fragile, confused alcoholic back to his isolationist domicile to sit alone for months, maintaining in the shame of the wreckage of his past? Think about this logically. It's your story, things that happened to you. There's no research necessary. You don't need to hunt down quotes. There's no citations or bibliography. Who are you pissed at? Who are you scared of? Who did you hurt? That's the task. If you meet the average alcoholic in a bar at one in the morning, they could roll those lists out for you in a completion inside of 17 minutes, and you'd probably hear them whether you wanted to or not. What's really amazing, and there's one of the few parts of the big book that nearly everyone utilizes consistently, is this one section that is not consistent with the original design. Almost anyone doing a 4-step these days is probably in some way utilizing the column inventory example. 5 years before the book was written, there was two predominant methods for doing a 4-step. The Bill way and the Bob way. The Bill way is that you will find on page 65, the Bob way is called an asset and liabilities checklist. This is essentially a grid resembling a football betting pool with the names listed across the top and what had happened with that person or place or thing along the left side, and along the right side would be the corresponding assets we need to strive for. The filling out of the list was nothing more than a series of check marks denoting the things that needed to be spoken through in step five. It's quick. It's simple. Rather than 3 or 4 hour separate lists, the resentments, the fear, and the harms get attended to simultaneously in a single grid. It looks something like this. Harold?
Yes, this is really valuable to is really valuable to me, and I use it when I somebody that's new in the program, and the grid is right here, and I can just list it off very quickly. Down the left side it says liabilities, resentment, fear, selfishness, dishonesty, jealousy, envy, shame. So that's the first column. Then across the top are listed the people, and so the heading on the second column is mom, next is neighbor, next is dad, next is girlfriend, best friend, boss, and then clear over to the right, the far right column is a list of assets. Forgiveness, faith, unselfishness, honesty, trust, contentment, and self-love. So it's a terrific little grid. And then we use check marks for the in each column under what the liabilities were. And Joseph, can you say a little bit more about the assets along the right side?
Sure. Thank you, Harold. Who are we willing to forgive? Who we are not willing to forgive? If we have fear, we dispel it with faith. Selfishness with unselfishness, dishonesty with honesty, jealousy with trust, and shame with self-love. So they brought it down to simple components. Now, what I do, I have this also on the website, and I got this from someone at the Survivors Group here in Houston, JP. He's probably got about 23 years now. Look, very young-looking guy, sobered up at the Pacific Group in California, Clancy Eyes. Home group. Clancy I is an icon of the contemporary current recovery AA community. You either love Clancy or you hate Clancy. I've been dissed by Clancy several times. I think he's great. He's got a really good program. He's the quintessential old timer. Knows it all and he'll tell you about it. and he knows it. I suggest to one side a little document. This is what JP had, how he went through the steps. This document was around 60 years at the time, so, and it had gotten lost in just got lost. And he spoke of it. He didn't have the copy of it. He just spoke of it. I inquired of him, and I believe I was there at the meeting that he spoke about it, so I could hear it. You take one sheet, one side of a yellow legal pad, and you write down the name, which is the resentment, the incident, and the chronology, when it happened. All the rest is done when you sit down, as outlined on page, 64 in the big book, where you do the fear, the selfishness, dishonesty, how it affected you, your part in it, all the rest, I believe, is with your sponsee, and you go over this. the sex inventory, the positive inventory, the fear inventory, and his part is all in there. Now you dig it out. It's like lifting a couch. You're on one side of the couch, a sponsee's on the other side of the couch, and you lift the couch. You don't expect somebody who just came in to look at and try to figure out who the heck is Mrs. Brown. So I find this to be very rewarding in the sense that it gets the sponsee through quickly. And I think this is where Michael M., his technique for the 24 hours, you get him through quick. You don't belabor the fourth step. My experience in AA, it's 15 years, good for good or for ill, there's a lot of folks that never do a fourth step. There's a lot of folks that stalled on the fourth step. There's a lot of folks that when they can get through a fourth step. So the idea is to get them through the fourth step to the fifth step, and the fifth step gives us a promise. It's the beginning of true kinship between God and man. It's the spiritual, if not the experience, the beginning of the spiritual awakening. And that's the goal of the sponsor, to get your sponsee to that place as quickly and as thoroughly as possible. Now, there's a trade between thorough and timely. I believe that if there's an error, it should be done on the side of thorough. We go timely. The newcomer is life's blood to AA, just like the old timer is the backbone. But relapse is the soul, because there's nothing more tormented than a head full of AA and a belly full of booze. So I get as much of the steps in them as I possibly can. And with an eye of thoroughness also in there, as much as we can. But what would happen is once I could get them through the steps, or as much steps in them as possible, they'll never drink again with impunity. They'll always have an opportunity to find their way home, because once they've worked the 12 steps, now there's a choice whether to drink or not to drink. I believe before you work the 12 steps, you do not have that choice. Harold?
I concur entirely. The process of getting through the steps is so important, and any look at the original, any look at the big book will show that the original 100 people that got sober with Bob and Bill W. back in 1935, 36, 37, The way they did it was to go through the steps immediately. They would go directly into the steps and accomplish these. And now the people, the drinking problems that they faced were quite severe. They didn't have a lot of people who were wondering, do I really drink too much? Is this a problem? Once in a while, they would come across someone, but most people really drank excessively, and there was little doubt that they had a chemical dependency. When they put that chemical in their bodies, they couldn't predict where the evening would end. They were folks who didn't have much question at all about their drinking problem and what it meant. And these fellows said there is a solution. Now, the important thing to realize as we look at step four, as we are tonight, is that it's really about taking an inventory. And we read in the big book that selfishness and self-centeredness are the root of our problem. Alcohol is but a symptom. So step four is where we begin working on this selfishness and self-centeredness. And so the way that I was taught to do it by my first sponsor was to do it vertically with columns, like it says in the big book, and to what we end up with after really examining the work is a list of 6, 7, 8 qualities that are defects of character, and that is the process, and that can be done in 24 hours. Somewhere along the line, as we're going to share later in our radio broadcast tonight, there are many groups and many individuals that feel like you should hang around the rooms for a year before you start the steps. That really has no basis in reality with the original people that used these steps to recover from the deadly disease of alcoholism. In my opinion, we don't really have that much time. I've been to way too many funerals, and I've had many conversations with many people where I had an opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. And during the process of conversation, the thought ran through my mind, this might be the only time I get to talk to this individual. And way too often, that was a true concept. For various reasons, it turned out to be the only conversation I had with that person. So in Chapter 7 in the Big Book, there's a detailed discussion about how to talk to people, how to work with others. And it says in there, do not say too much too fast. But once you have a commitment from a person that they really want to stop, then to proceed through the steps as quickly as possible, I think has tremendous value. This may be the only conversation that we get with this person, as many of the steps as we can cover in that meeting, the better. Joseph?
Thanks, Harold. I had a sponsee, Dan, a Joe Hazelton kind of guy, an oil rig guy, captain of the ocean, those huge ocean liners, that, you know, the big ones that can't fit through the Panama Canal kind of, and then the oil rigs and chronic relapser. And my group here in Houston, he was getting another beginner's chip, couldn't seem to grab more than 5 years. Worked the program with him, and he got passionate about it. He helped me put on the meeting for sponsorship, and he, you know, backed it up. And my experience is that if your sponsees get passionate, there's a good chance they're going to stay sober. If they don't, they don't. His meeting, his home group in New Jersey, was that you had to go to meetings for a year before you could work the steps. And when I say that, people get mad at me for saying that. They go, it's hard to comprehend that thinking. When I came here to Post Oak, their deal was a step a month. Where these things come from or where they go is like the wind. My guess is that we're told for the first year not to make any major decisions or moves, because who we are will not be who we are after a year of recovery. And I hope that means working the steps, but they don't really say that. Most AA groups, my experience is that you can chair a meeting and you can be a GSR, blah, 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 with lengths of time. No one asks if you work the steps other than to volunteer for a sponsor. And I think it's more important to know that whoever is representing us or doing anything has worked the steps. Not that they've been able to hang out on the at the rooms for an extended period of time, but that's the way we do business here. So now once he brought this information back to New Jersey, they were aghast. They had no concept of working the steps. And the funny thing about it is that after that year's time, you didn't really actually work with a sponsor. They sent you, they directed you to step studies to work the steps. So it was kind of strange. Continue on before we run out of time. As the program began to grow, Bill essentially took on the role of P.T. Barnum. You know P.T. Barnum, there's a sucker born every minute. I was born on the 32nd mark. Pushing the growth and the potential influx of dollars. He was the sale. He was going to get this thing rolling from scratch. He needed to bring money in, people, enthusiasm. He was the master of ceremonies. It was Dr. Bob and his crew carrying the message to new alcoholics, and consequently, everyone was using the asset and liabilities checklist to do the work. Dr. Bob had sponsored 5,000 men. I'm accused every so often because of Rum Radio, you're trying to change the world. And I would tell you this, if you think you could change the world, it's either grandiose romanticism or politics. The only way to change the world is one at a time. Even still, it was Bill who took up the role of lead author for the book, and Bill liked the column inventory, and so Bill put it in. As it happens, in all of AA archives, of which there are many, detailing exactly what was going on in meetings throughout the country, there's not a single scrap of evidence of anyone using a column inventory previous to the advent of the treatment centers. Well, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with using a column inventory for someone just entering the AA. It is a complicated way to accomplish a simple task, and it has led to expanded versions, making the job so absurdly complex, it is all but sure to have an alcoholic running for cover. And that's my experience. The fourth step is to cheat, is a cheat sheet for the fifth step. That's all. It's Cliff Notes version of the thing you need to talk about in your fifth step. You do not need to determine exactly how things made you feel, nor do you need to determine your part in step four. That happens in five, so you aren't doing it alone. We are told on page 64 through 66 that the first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. If seeing the wrongs of others were far as we had gotten, how are we going to be able to figure out our part in our resentment? The root of our problem is selfishness. The selfishness is driven by self-delusion. Therefore, we are not only selfish, we are selfish. We are selfish, and we cannot see that we are selfish. To individually understand my part in my resentment demands a release of selfishness. That release does not begin to happen in uncovered until steps four and five. Now, considering that four and five are the very steps that the person is working on, how can you ask him to attend to a fundamentally unselfishness task when he's still loaded to the gills with unseen selfishness? And how long do you think this poor soul is going to spin in confusion and frustration before he has a bottle in his hand? Bottom line, it's a simple program. If you're working on a part of the program and you're aware that it's not simple, then it's not AA. As to the applicable text, we turn to the last few lines on page 63, carrying to the end of the paragraph on 64. Harold?
Yes, I appreciate this part very much in simplifying this, putting it on a legal pad. My fourth step ended up being pages and pages and pages. I had stalled on the fourth step for over 3 years, and So what you're saying really applies to me. If I had had a sponsor that made it quite a bit simpler, I may have gotten further, and it could have made me more useful to the program. And what I like to, my goal is to be more useful to God. So during that stall, over 3 years, I was not very useful to God. And at the time, I didn't realize the extent of it. But now looking back, I can see that that stall was a high-risk situation, and it doesn't help. It doesn't need to be the case for everybody. And so I was very much interested in something simpler, quicker, and more doable. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I had the same experience. I stalled on four. I was beaten into a state of reasonableness. I said that for many years before I even realized that Bill W. said the same thing. I love when those moments happen.
Yes.
Beat into a state of reasonableness. That means I'm teachable. And then that's when I walked into the rooms. I had to take a great pain, and it was the last house on the block. Of course, I can like to talk, and I talked my way into the meetings, and I was being accepted by a new group, and something miraculous happens in the rooms of AA, especially for the new people. When you talk to your pain in the rooms of AA, the pain goes away. It disperses. Gehil Gibran had written in The Prophet, "A sorrow shared is half the sorrow, as a joy shared is twice the joy." And we get that in the rooms of AA. So my pain's going away. I'm talking it out. I'm being accepted by a new tribe, a new group. My business is going better, and I'm not drinking. All the consequences of that drinking, because I'm not drinking, is going away. A pink cloud is descending. My sponsor's going, "When are you going to work step four?" "I'm staying sober. Is that not enough?" He says, "You're not going to get the promises until you work the steps. But I'm okay. I can do this my way." Now what I suggest to my sponsees is that I suggest they don't share in the meetings until step five. Because
yes,
I want to use that pain that they came in with as fuel. That pain is a motivator, and it's a very strong motivator. I don't want that fuel being squandered in their discussions in the meetings. Some people will disagree. They'll say, "We need to hear that pain to remind us where we came from." I didn't forget, but that's the argument. And they need to get that out. No, they don't. If they need to get out their pain, they can talk to their sponsor. Oh, they don't have a sponsor yet. They're circling the rooms trying to find out who's that perfect sponsor. That one and only sponsor, it's the unicorn of sponsorship. I'm so unique, there's only one guy in the whole scheme of things that'll be my perfect sponsor. Like a soulmate sponsor. In the meantime, I'm talking and the pain's going away and I have no motivation. So I tell two reasons I have you not talk. That's one. The other reason is that you're not, until you work a fifth step, you really can't talk to the solution. All you're left is talking to the problem. Only step one mentions the problem. The other 11 steps are the solution. We call it a design for living. We live in the solution, not in the problem. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though a decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us from the spirit. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Have you ever heard of anyone claiming methodically working no more than a step a month. Read the book. At the end of every single step, the book is entirely clear that we move immediately to the next step. At the end of step one, we are told that if you can smash the delusion, page 30, that you can never do this on your own, powerlessness, we start looking, page 45, for the power, step two. At the end of step two, we are told at once, a man can say that he is willing to believe that he is on his way, only willing to believe, to step three, page 63. At the end of page three, we're told that as soon as we say the prayer, we launch into step four, page 63. At the end of step four, we're told that we've written down, what we've written down is about to be cast out, step five, page 72. At the end of step five, we're told that if we're satisfactorily completed step five, we then look at page six, page 76. At the end of step six, we're told that as soon as we're ready to go ahead and say the seven-step prayer, page 76. At the end of step eight, we're told now we go out and begin our amends, step nine, page 76. At the end of step nine, we're told that we engage in the maintenance steps, starting with 10, while working out our amends. I like to think of them as the growth steps. Some folks still call them the maintenance steps. I like the reason why is that our sobriety is contingent upon the maintenance of a daily spiritual condition. My question is, what maintains itself of itself? Nothing. You're either growing spiritually or you're declining spiritually. And these are the growth steps. 10. Some people want to call them maintenance. I call them growth steps. You call them what you want, just do them. At the end of step 10, we're told we go for it. That means more action. Step 11, page 85. At the end of step 11, we're told, but this is not all. There's action and more action, and that we move to the next chapter, which is entirely devoted to step 12, page 87. We're saved by grace after all that we can do. Not after all that we can talk, not after all that we can think, not even after all that we can pray. The magic words in AA is action and more action, for faith without works is dead. Harold?
Yes, absolutely. A careful look at the book will remind us that we're supposed to move right from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And they would do 4, 5, 6, and 7 in one sitting right there. And then, of course, step 8 is a written step, and we can use what we wrote in step 4 as a beginning for step 8, the step 8 list, listing everyone we had harmed, and becoming willing. And that we need to do with our sponsor, with another person. For a long time, I watched people who thought they could sponsor themselves, ignore the instructions and encouragement in the book, and try to do just that, being self-reliant. And it's so dangerous and so deadly that working with others, intensive work with another alcoholic, is very, very important here. It's a life and death situation. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. I like to think of step five. I mention this in the meetings a lot of times, and it always gets people's ire up, and I know that, and that's one of the reasons I do that, but it comes directly from our literature in the 12 and 12. Until we've spoken with complete candor to someone, and they've done the same with us, we still didn't belong. Step five was the answer. It was the beginning of true kinship between God and man. So what does that mean? It means that not only do we have to speak a fifth step to another human being, the exact natures of our wrong. We have to listen to someone else speak it to us. Who does that? A sponsor. Until you heard a fifth step, you still didn't belong. You were a guest, you were a visitor, and you didn't belong yet. You were circling the field, waiting to run out of spiritual gasoline, and then it's another crash and burn, Vern. A lot of folks I hear in the meetings, they're still complaining and they're still crying, but they're not sponsoring. They're not turning their thoughts to someone they can help. If the pain gets bad, they go to another meeting. Keep coming back. Keep coming back to what? And you know, the pain will go away. The meetings will give you a spiritual bump. They just do. Whether you speak in them or not. You know, I like to think of it, a good AA meeting is when you hear something you needed to hear. And a great AA meeting is when you said something that someone else needed to hear. Kept you sober. Kept me sober for years without working the steps. If you go to enough meetings, if you live around those meetings, if you come addicted to those meetings, they'll keep you sober. You might be sober, but you're not in recovery until you work the steps. And until you work the steps, you're not going to sponsor. And until you hear someone's story, you're still a visitor. It's not the job of a sponsor to dictate the rate at which the prospect goes through the steps. The book does that for us. The above passage explains that unless we follow up our preparation work by launching at once into a program of action, the effect will vanish rapidly. Once the prospect understands that time is of the essence, we are charged with pointing to the passages that lay out the three major building blocks of a proper fourth step. And really, the driving force of a fourth step is our resentments. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it seems all forms of spiritual disease. We have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. The second component is fear. The short word fear somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion, it set in mountains of circumstances which brought us misfortune. We felt we didn't deserve, but did not we, ourselves, set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classified as stealing. It seems to cause. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. The King James Version, it comes out of the Proverbs. We dig a ditch and fall therein and roll the stone and it rolls back upon us. Set the ball rolling. It's the stone. And the third component is the harm that we had done to others. You know, resentment is like taking poison expecting someone else to die. An expectation was a resentment under construction. We reviewed our conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What would we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. Harold, why paper? Why has it got to be done on paper?
You know, it's an amazing thing when I, even today, when I take and put pen to paper, it produces a different rate of thinking speed. I think at a different speed, and I'm constantly telling the adults and the children with whom I work in my family work. We do a lot of thinking in this office, and based on ideas from years ago and Dr. Scott Peck, who said that we have to welcome the strange and the different, and that we have to think, and that we have to ponder questions which may take days, even weeks, to come up with answers to. He placed a ban on the phrase "I don't know" in his work. He explains that the phrase "I don't know" is a little phrase that people use to get themselves off of the hook, to, in essence, say, shut up, I don't want to think about that. So in my work, I ask questions, and I encourage people, don't answer this question. I'm just going to ask it, but don't answer. And above all else, do not say, I don't know. That phrase isn't allowed in this room. And people insist, well, I don't know. Well, what I want you to do is think. So rather than say anything, just think. Or if you do want to say something, say, I need to think about that. I'm thinking. And so we do a lot of thinking, and that's what's needed. The unexamined life isn't worth living. We need to think about our situation, think about ourselves, think about what we're thinking about. It's called metacognition. We're the only creature who can do that, as far as we know, to think about what we're thinking about. And that's what's needed. So many kids have so much stress in this modern day. And I have children all the time coming in because the school administration has recommended they see someone, or the teachers, or their parents. I have children come in who are so stressed out, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9, 10, 11 years old. Some of the children are suicidal. And sometimes it's just a gesture. Sometimes they really want to die. They're under so much stress. And the statistics are shocking in this age. 2012, child suicide is at epidemic proportions and rising. And we need permission to think. So I encourage a lot of thinking, and I encourage the kids to think about fears, think about resentments, and understand that stress is not an event, it's a person's reaction to events. Stress is not an event, ladies and gentlemen, it's your reaction to events. And I'll have kids come in and I'll explain that, and they'll say, no, that's not true. Or I'll tell them, no one makes anyone anything. Nobody's making you angry. They do X, Y, Z, and then you anger yourself over it. And they'll just sit there in amazement and say, no, they're making me angry. So it's difficult to get the idea across. And of course, I turn to the parents and say, I ask, when did you first learn that people don't make you, that you're choosing how to respond all the time? And on occasion, I'll get a dumbfounded look from the parents, and I know exactly where the child got their concept. It's the sins of the fathers are handed down to the sons. So it's an error thought, but people believe what they think. Kids especially believe what they think, and if what they're thinking is in error, then their experiences are all based on errors, and they're going in the ditch. There's so much wasted time. It's like a rocking chair. A lot of movement, a lot of effort going on, but they're not going anyplace. Joseph?
Thank you, Harold. That was very interesting. I like to think, I am because I think. I think.
So we're coming down to the last couple of minutes. Can you believe it?
Yeah. The other hook is I'll try. That's a hook for failure.
Yeah.
Goes back to Star Wars. That was the most popular movie espoused at the pulpits at the time. People looking for some kind of spiritual enlightenment. So they used Star Wars, and then later on they used The Matrix. People looking for answers. And in Star Wars, Yoda, the little green guru, told Skywalker, he said, lift this spaceship out of the mud. And he said, I will try, Master. And Yoda said, do not try. Do it or don't do it. But don't try.
A Jedi seeks not these things.
The unexamined life is not worth living, as a life in recovery is to die for. A lot of times we're dealing with emotional memory. The reason why it has to be written is because now we can confront it. We take it out of the memory, ethereal, and put it into a realm of physicality. Writing is a very small, but there's a substance to writing. We can confront and in white. Basically, that's what all the big books asking us to do, is that the fourth step has to be written. The rest of it is understanding and your sponsor's ability to dig it out. Using the simplistic, we reviewed our conduct over the years and looked at it. Okay, using the simplistic grid shown above, the prospect lists every person, place, thing, institution or concept to which they caused harm or harbor resentment or fear, denoting with a series of check marks, which is liabilities, applies to each. Once everything that they can remember has been listed, the fourth step is complete. We must let them know that they will forget things and that the things they do not recall are not applicable to this fourth step. We will have a daily tenth step and the opportunity to do further fourth steps down the road to deal with that. That's important to remember. Most long-term recovery will do another fourth step. Fourth step is about the past. Tenth step is steps 4 through 9 in a single package applied to the present. Remember, the fourth step is not your life story. The fourth step is not an effort to locate the patterns, causes, and conditions that are blocking you from God's love. Once we have those patterns in place, we are ready to move forward. So I think that's we're just about ready to wind it up. I think it was a really good understanding tonight. A lot of really good information. Like I said, Rum Radio is in 132 foreign countries, including Mississippi. There's resentments to some folks because this is something they're not really quite familiar with in the presentation, but the information is program. It's complete. It's a big book. See where religious people are right or wrong or someone else. Keep an open mind. A mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. Thanks, Harold. Remember, we'll see
you
on radio, rumradio.org. Good night.
Good night.